One of, I think, the fascinating aspects of following Jesus is the upside-down nature of our faith, the upside-down nature of salvation. Now, you think about Jesus who said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, turning things upside down. Jesus also said to be a leader, or to be great, you have to become a servant. And again, that's not the way the world usually looks at things. Jesus said to find new life, you have to die. Again, turning things upside down. We also see this reality in other ways. When we are weak, then we are strong. Paul wrote that. The message of salvation is a mystery, the Bible says. And yet it's not a mystery that we don't understand. It's a mystery that has been revealed, made clear to us now. And now we have the mission of revealing that mystery to others around us. Palm Sunday also follows that same upside-down storyline. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, humble and quiet, riding on a donkey. Greeted by crowds, though, came out cheering and waving palm branches and shouting out loud and proclaiming him to be their king. But Jesus came as a king, not with soldiers, not with an army. He didn't ride into to Jerusalem so that he could sit on a throne. Instead, Jesus came as a humble king. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the mighty ruler. He is the one who is exalted above all powers and all authority. And yet Jesus came in humility. He came in weakness. Jesus came in submission to God's plan for his life, submission that led him ultimately, just a few days later, to the cross where he died. So Palm Sunday was an upside-down sort of coronation for Jesus, who came as the upside-down king, and he came to bring salvation that we find in a very much an upside-down way by Jesus dying for the people that he loves. And so as we remember Palm Sunday this morning, and then as we look ahead to Good Friday this week, and then Easter, the Resurrection Sunday next week, I want us to talk this morning about why and about how Jesus became our Savior. And we're going to read one of the most important passages in all of Scripture that begins by telling us how we as Jesus' followers are supposed to live our lives. And I don't want us to lose sight of that part of the passage. But then it turns into a poem. These words were written by Paul as he was inspired by the Spirit. And this poem tells us what type of king Jesus is. And it's the upside-down story of how Jesus became our Savior. So we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want us to focus on what this passage says about Jesus and these beautiful words that Paul wrote as a poem. But don't misunderstand, this passage is really about us. That's where it begins, and we can't miss that focus, that what Paul is really saying to us is that we need to become more like Jesus. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus means to think and to act and to talk, to behave, to treat other people the way that Jesus did, to shape our lives after Him, to care about the things that Jesus cared about, to love the way that Jesus loves. And that idea was in Paul's mind as he began writing this poem about Jesus, as the Spirit inspired him. He was thinking, what does it mean to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus? And then he began to write about how Jesus came and died for us and was exalted by God. And so Paul wrote these words, these sort of beautifully crafted verses, sort of like a little psalm to Jesus, about the upside-down nature of Jesus, who is our King, who is our Savior, who is our Lord, and yet He embodied those important aspects of His very nature in ways that we may find surprising, certainly the world would find surprising. So that's where we want to begin on this Palm Sunday, that Jesus is the mighty King who made Himself nothing. The mighty King who made Himself nothing. The incarnation of Jesus is one of the great mysteries of our faith. And again, anytime we use that word mystery, it doesn't mean something that we don't understand or can't understand, but something that our minds may have trouble getting around and yet has been revealed to us in Scripture. In other words, the truth that we have written down for us in God's Word, and yet we need to kind of struggle at, to get our minds around. The incarnation of Jesus, how God squeezed Himself into human form, how the Almighty God, the eternal and glorious God of heaven, set aside His divine nature, letting go of the glories of heaven, so that He could step into a human body. Of course, we think of Jesus as the baby born in Bethlehem, right? Christmas story. We think of Jesus growing up in Nazareth with his father, Joseph the carpenter. We have a couple of verses in the Bible about that. We remember that Jesus began His public ministry around the age of 30, gathering disciples around Him, performing miracles. We read in the Gospels about how Jesus traveled from Jerusalem up to Galilee and back again a couple of times, and how He ate and how He slept and how He cried and probably how He laughed. All of those human things that Jesus did. He had friends. He was also like us. He faced difficult moments. Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was rejected. Jesus faced the challenges of life. He was even betrayed by His own friends and left all alone at the end. We know Jesus as the man, and it's easy for us to think of Him that way because He experienced the things that we experience. He lived among us, and we can get our minds around the fact that Jesus walked around as a person, living in this world much as we do. Jesus lived and he died. And then he rose again. We know that story, but we can't forget in the midst of all of that story that is familiar to us that Jesus is also God. Fully and completely and in every way God, just like God the Father. In fact, Paul writes here that Jesus is in very nature God. And you think, how else could you write down this amazing, again, mystery that is true, that we understand, and yet how do you put words to this thing? That Jesus is in very nature God. And then the mystery gets a little deeper in verse 7 when Paul writes that he made himself nothing. A better translation, I think, of that phrase is that Jesus emptied himself. He poured himself out. He poured out the fullness of who he is as God so that he could come and serve us. Jesus didn't stop being God. He didn't stop being the King of Kings. He never took off the crown. And yet, he is the King who is also a servant. And we can't understand him fully without both parts of that. He is the King who emptied himself out, who made himself nothing so that he could serve us, because only our God and only our King could in fact save us from our sins. And so Jesus was willing to make that great sacrifice. There are whole books that have been written about these few verses that we're reading today. About how God became man, about how Jesus emptied himself and became a servant, about what that means for us, but also what that means for Jesus himself, what it means for God to have done that, to step into humanity the way that Jesus did. But for us, let's just call it the upside down mystery of our King who made himself nothing. And if we can get our minds around that, then we need to ask, why? Why would Jesus do this? Why would the God of heaven do this? Why would the King of Kings make himself nothing? Why would Jesus empty himself and become a lowly servant? Why? Well, the answer to that question is the gospel story. And Paul parses it down, writes it as in as few words as he can in verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the Savior who gave himself away. He is the Savior, and we know that about Jesus. It's what we proclaim about Him here week after week. Jesus saves us from our sins, but He became the Savior by giving Himself away. Jesus came into the world as a man. He lived, He taught, He performed miracles, but He did all of those things on the way to the cross. He did all of those things, those stories that we read in the Gospels, the parables he told, the miracles he performed, all of that he did that we love to tell about Jesus. But we need to remember that he did those things as he made his way to his death on the cross, which is the real reason why he came into this world in the first place. At the cross, Jesus humbled himself even further, not just God becoming man, but now letting go of the divine glory, emptying himself out as a servant, but now also choosing to die in our place. And taking on himself the suffering and the shame and the agony of death on the cross. Nailed there by the Roman soldiers. Lifted up in front of the people who wandered by that day, mocked and hated and laughed at as he died. And Jesus did it for one reason. Because God loves you. That's why the incarnation, that's why the Savior gave Himself away. It's why the King emptied Himself, poured Himself out for us. Because God loves you. Because God loves the world and everyone who lives in it. Because He saw that we were dying in our sins, cut off forever from His glory, from His presence. We were condemned to spiritual darkness and torment. And so God, because He loves us so much, came to save us. And Jesus emptied Himself out and He poured Himself out and He became that humble, self-sacrificing servant walking submissively under God's will to the cross, where He suffered and where He died in our place. And by His death, our sins are paid for. Our debt is wiped away. Our shame-filled, dirty hearts are washed clean because Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus gave Himself away so that He could be our Savior. When Jesus rode into the up to the Temple Mount on that Palm Sunday, as He rode on the back of the donkey, and the crowds came out to meet Him, and they waved their palm branches, and they shouted aloud, "Hosanna!" And we're reminded that the word Hosanna means save us. So that moment was for Jesus both a coronation as our King, but it was also this moment in which the crowds were declaring Jesus to be the Savior. If we are going to be saved, we need Jesus to do it for us. That's what they were saying as they shouted aloud, "Hosanna, come and save us, Jesus. Be our King and be our Savior." In God's upside down and mysterious ways, that is just what Jesus did for us. The suffering servant hung on the rugged cross to save us. And I'm sure as the people looked at Jesus dying there, they must have thought, "We got it wrong." Right? How could this one who's now dying be our King? How could this one who is nailed to the cross be our Savior? Of course, next Sunday we're going to celebrate the resurrection, which is the glorious climax of the story of Jesus' incarnation. He died on the cross, then He rose again, and now Jesus is fully restored to His rightful place. And He lives forever in glory and power. And so we come to the third aspect of who we declare Jesus to be, and that is that Jesus is the Lord, whom God exalted, and all people will one day acknowledge. That Palm Sunday crowd probably didn't understand fully what it meant for them to declare Jesus to be the King and the Savior. Those are the words they said. Those are the actions they went through. The palms waving, shouting Hosanna. They wanted Jesus as their King. They wanted Him to be their Savior. But again, as He was dying on the cross just a few days later, they must have thought, "We were wrong. This can't be how it ends, Jesus. The King can't die. The Savior can't be nailed to the cross." But that was, in fact, God's will for Jesus. Even Jesus' disciples, even His closest friends, scattered in fear as Jesus died. And today there are lots of people who don't understand Jesus. There are lots of people who don't know why He died. There are a lot of people who don't care that He died. There are a lot of people who don't believe that He came back to new life. There are a lot of people who don't want to hear His name. And we face that temptation today of not speaking the name of Jesus because we're afraid that people are going to think badly of us to talk about a man who died 2,000 years ago. And whatever they may have in their minds about who they think Jesus is, we're afraid they're going to associate that with us and the church. And so we just keep our mouths quiet and we don't say anything in public because we're afraid. Just like Jesus' disciples. were afraid when they saw him die on the cross. But you see, someday when Jesus returns in power and glory, someday when the final judgment falls on everyone who has ever lived, someday when God calls us, the followers of Jesus, home to be with Him forever, someday everyone will understand the truth about Jesus. And then every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Even those who have refused salvation in His name, someday even they will acknowledge the truth that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is the Savior, and that Jesus is the Lord. And what a blessing and joy it is that we already know that truth. For us, Jesus is not some mystery to be revealed at the end of time. Because we have salvation in His name today, and we have that everlasting life that He has promised us because He died and rose again for us. And that is the good news that we celebrate. It's the good news that we share with others. And it is our hope for eternity. It makes us who we are. And so we need now to return to the beginning of the passage that we read earlier that started with this call to become more like Jesus. Our lives should imitate Jesus in humility and in compassion. Back in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And why would we do that? Why would we live that way? Why would we look after the needs of other people instead of putting ourselves first? Well, because that's what Jesus did. And He is the one that we follow, right? He is our Lord and our Savior and our King. And so our lives need to be an imitation of His life. And if that's how He lived, then that's how we should live. And so we need to look after the interests of the people around us. And in humility, we need to serve people. And in compassion, we need to care for those in need. And we all know that we live in a city full of needs. We live in a community where we are surrounded by people who have needs. You can begin with the most obvious needs, people living in poverty, people addicted to drugs. It's also, though, people with emotional challenges, people with physical needs, people impacted by bad choices or limited options in their lives. And so the challenge is to imitate Jesus in His humility and in His compassion. To reach out in love to people in need. We hear every month, like we did this morning, about ministries that we support. Alaskan Christian College is thousands of miles away, but there are ministries right here in town, like Habitat for Humanity, like the Pregnancy Care Center, like Carpenter's Place, like the Rescue Mission. Places that are always looking for help, always looking for needs to be met by people like us who can not just give, but can go and serve with compassion and love. Maybe you have a neighbor or a friend, someone you know is dealing with an illness or a financial need or a burden that they have trouble carrying or just needs someone to come and be their friend. How can you bring Jesus' love and compassion into their lives? You see, Jesus showed us how to love and serve others. And this week, especially of all weeks, as we remember how Jesus became our Savior, as we remember that He is our King, as we remember that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, He is inviting us to join in this upside-down work of His kingdom. And it's upside down because we don't follow what the world says, putting our own interests first, seeking what's best for me, seeking after my own comfort and wealth and prestige. But no, we follow Jesus' example. That is an upside down example. To be a servant and to be humble and to pour ourselves out for the needs of others and to be willing to sacrifice who I am for the sake of lifting up someone else, just as Jesus did for us. And so he's inviting us to join in this upside-down work of the kingdom of God, serving people in need and showing others who the Savior is and how he loves us and how he has sent us out into the world to love the people around us. So let's give praise to God for sending Jesus into the world and now sending us out into the world as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your compassion that you saw us in our sin and in our need, and you sent Jesus to be our Savior. And Lord, it's hard for us to get our minds around how Jesus came as a person, as a man, and lived among us and died and rose again. And he was a man, and yet he was still divine and glorious and powerful, still God. Lord, we thank you for what he has done for us, for what you have done for us. And I pray now that you would help us to live lives that reflect Jesus into the world around us, to show others what it means to serve in humility and to pour out ourselves in compassion toward those in need. Lord, we thank you for your great love, and I pray that that love would be real in our lives so that we can share it with others. We ask this in the name of our King and our Savior and our Lord Jesus. Amen.